Please be seated. Thank you so much for being here. I want to make sure that I tell you tonight about our church's online presence. We're very proud of it here at the Augusta Road Congregation. If you have a copy of our bulletin or grab one of those, you will find how you can connect with us on Facebook. That's far and away our number one social media presence. We're very active on Facebook. As a matter of fact, this sermon is being promoted on Facebook. We're letting folks on Facebook know that we're streaming our worship service over the internet, which is something we've been doing for quite a while here, and we're so very, very glad to be able to do that. You can find our webpage, and from there, link to all of our past classes and sermons. Folks who are at home or are with a sick loved one or family member, they can tune in and participate with us online. That's something that we're quite proud of. So Facebook is a wonderful way to connect with us online. Also, Instagram and Twitter, we use those as well. And you have all of those contact bits of information there on the cover of your bulletin. If you're online at all, we would love to be a part of what you do online. So don't forget about us when you're on Facebook or on the internet or Instagram or Twitter. Look for us there, and please allow us throughout the week through our social media posts to encourage you and help motivate you to be a good Christian whom the Lord would be very pleased in. In some of the classes that my children have been a part of, I'm talking about school classes now, they've been invited to make up their own class rules. One of my girls' classes, they even made a class constitution. It's pretty neat. Tonight I want to talk about the number one all-time best rule there is, period. You know this rule. I know you know this rule. It is so great that people call it golden. It's the golden rule. And we read about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. There is where we find Jesus saying these words to us, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I love what Jesus says here. He is characteristically brilliant. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, brilliance came out. Excellence came from what Jesus had to say, and this is no exception. The golden rule is so magnificent for a number of reasons, which I want to go over with you tonight. Number one, this is a comprehensive rule. This is a comprehensive rule. Jesus says all things, everything is on the table. I suppose the only thing that would not be on the table would be anything that would violate God's will, because in everything that we say and do, we have to obey with God's will. We have to conform to that. That's what Colossians 3:17 lets us know. That's what Acts 5:29 lets us know, that and everything that we do, we obey God rather than man. And Jesus says, whatever you want someone to do to you, you do that to them. And all options are on the table. We're not stingy with what we give other people. As a matter of fact, this rule is challenging us to think about ourselves. We'll talk about that point momentarily. We are challenged here. We're almost tricked by Jesus to think about yourself. What do you want other people to do to you? Everybody walks around with a pretty healthy amount of self-confidence. We all have a pretty good idea about how we should be treated by other folks. I hear people tell me all the time, that's just not fair. Somebody should not have done that to me. What I should have been allowed to do is... So we know how other people should treat us. And Jesus says, take that and flip it around, and that's how we should treat other people. And everything's on the table. We don't want people to be stingy in their treatment of us, so we are not supposed to be stingy in our treatment of other people. It never ceases to amaze me how double standardy, that's not a word, but let's go with it, how double standardy people are when it comes to their relationship with the church, you know. let one of their family members be sick or hospitalized or have something bad happen to them, and they want all the cards and all the calls and all the visits and all the prayers from all the people in the whole church. And then when somebody else is sick, well, then, oh, I'm too busy. I've got a lot going on. There's too much on my plate. I can't. So Jesus is reminding us here that it doesn't work like that. That's not golden. We treat other people the way we want them to treat us. And there are no limits to this, right? We want people to be there for us. So when they need us to be there for them, we should be there for them. We want people to encourage us and pat us on the back and encourage our family. So we should do that for them as well. We want people to motivate us and let us know how the Lord wants us to live in a nice Christian-friendly way. So we should do that to other people as well. We don't have a double standard in the way we approach our relationship with other folks, right? What we want them to do for us becomes what we should do for them. If we want them to encourage us and lift us up and help us stay motivated, well, then we should do that for them, right? If we want other people to recognize the effort that we put into something and be kind and considerate and not mean and ugly, right? If we want people to be kind and considerate in the projects that we take on and the things that we do, well, then we need to be kind and considerate towards them as well. Everything's on the table, you see. Nothing is marked off the list because we're talking about how we want other people to treat us. That makes this rule not just a comprehensive rule, but also, we've been talking all about it, it makes it an introspective rule. The golden rule is, number one, comprehensive, number two, introspective. That means we take a look at ourselves. We take a look at ourselves. And this is something that we are inherently pretty good at, right? I mentioned earlier that healthy ego that we all have. We all have a sense of how other people should treat us. As a matter of fact, one of the main things that I have faced in a ministry is people coming to me complaining about how somebody else has treated them, right? So that lets me know that we all walk around with a sense about how we should be treated by other people. So since we know how other people should treat us, bam, we know how we should treat other people. It doesn't always go that way because people think this golden rule applies to everybody else except them, right? I want them to treat me this way, but I want to be absolved from my responsibility to treat them this way. So we take a good hard look at ourselves in a 2 Corinthians chapter 13 sort of way, not a 2 Corinthians chapter 10 sort of way. We take a good hard look at ourselves in a 2 Corinthians chapter 13 sort of way because it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, where the Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves. That's a big word, examine. You give yourself a test. And since you know yourself pretty well, you ask yourself the questions that you know you're not prepared for, right? Since you know yourself really well, you could do one of two things. You could be really, really, really easy on yourself in this examination. Or you could really test yourself, right? You could strive for a mastery. And that's what we should be doing because in Christianity, don't we want to be as good as we possibly can be, right? It never ceases to disappoint me how in every other area of life, we want our children to excel. We want to be better. We want to do more. We want to be more proficient, not less proficient. You know, we want to get better. In everything that we do, playing an instrument or playing a sport or eating better or as it relates to competency on the job, we want to get better. And then when it comes to Christianity, we're okay with just being okay. And I don't think that's okay. When it comes to Christianity, we need to strive for excellence. And it all begins with how we test ourselves, right? How we examine ourselves. What paces, what rigors do we put ourselves through? Do we really analyze who we are honestly, right? This is what I mean when we talk about taking a closer look at ourselves in a 2 Corinthians chapter 13 sort of way. We examine ourselves to see whether or not we are in the faith. We take what we know about ourselves, which is everything, right? We know a lot about ourselves. We know things about ourselves that other folks don't know about us. And we take all of that and we take what we know about God's Word. Now, how much do you know about God's Word? Hopefully a lot, not everything. I know you don't know everything about God's Word. No offense. No one knows everything about God's Word. But you see, we're working on that. We're working on that. We're a work in progress. We take what we know about ourselves. We're very honest here. We take what we know about God's Word. We're also very honest here. We also are working hard to add to our knowledge of God's Word. And we see how compatible the two are. Here's what we know about ourselves. Here's who we are. And then here's what we know about God's Word, what it wants us to be. And then we make sure that we're passing the test. That's the way we look at ourselves to decide how we should treat other people. That kind of raw, very honest way. Not what we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, talks about comparing ourselves with ourselves. That's not what we're wanting to do. This always happens. I don't know why, but it does always seem to happen. I talked to somebody about anything, really. And always the excuse comes, well, you know, I'm better than somebody else, right? I'm not, somebody told me this one time, I'm not the parent I should be, but I'm better than so-and-so. I'm thinking, eesh, that's not good. You know, that's not good. I remember a Greek class that I was in. It was me and one other guy, right? Just two of us, so there's nowhere to hide. And he dropped out of the class a couple of weeks in. Thanks, right? And he was reading something in Greek, and I said, wow, you know, I said, he did that better than I could do. And the Greek teacher, he was kind of dry, and he said, yeah, he did better than you could do, but, you know, he might be setting the bar just a little higher than that. He might be trying. I wasn't an ace of a Greek student. And he said, yeah, he did better than you, but, you know, there's a lot of room above the job that you could have done. So, He might be setting the bar a little higher than just doing better than you. And I thought, yeah, you know, that makes sense. And it also encourages me to think about setting the bar higher than just the person next to us. You know, we don't just want to be better than the other guy. We want to be the kind of Christian who honors and pleases the Lord. So we're not comparing ourselves with ourselves. Well, as long as we come to more services than what's his name over there, we're okay. As long as our children are just a little bit better than their children, then we're okay. No. That is the wrong kind of look at oneself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 teaches us the need to look at ourselves, but we look at ourselves not in this kind of peer evaluation way. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We look at ourselves not like 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We look at ourselves like 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where we know the areas that we are deficient in. And we are working not to make excuses for those areas, but we're working to bring those levels up, because in our Christianity, just like everything else that we do, we want to be good. We want to be getting better. We want to strive for excellency. We don't want to just be content with mediocrity. We want to get better. We want our children to get better. We want our spouses to get better. We want to get better ourselves. And so we examine ourselves. We test ourselves to make sure that we're doing the things that we should be doing that pleases God. And as we do that, we are center stage, right? We're taking a good, hard look at ourselves. And in the process, we are seeing mandates for how we should treat other people. Because however we feel other people should treat us, that's how we should treat them. Do you feel like somebody ought to speak to you when you come into the church building? Do you feel like that'd be a good thing to do? Yeah? Me too. And since we feel like it would be a good thing for someone to speak to us when we come in the church building, we should speak to other people, right? You want to be greeted friendly by folks you worship with? Well, that's great. That means we should do that for other people as well. And not just fall into the familiar patterns of seeing our same old group. Make sure that we are reaching out, because we want other people to do that for us, with us. So we do that for others as well. The golden rule is a comprehensive rule. It's an introspective rule. It's an inclusive rule. We're talking about whatsoever you would that all men, everybody we're talking about here, not just our favorites, but all folks. This is the general term, anthropos, here, talking about all mankind. And the Bible lets us know how important it is for us to be considerate of all people everywhere, right? Not just fall into the pharisaical pitfall of being nice to people who are like us and only those folks. You see, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus is talking about loving those who are different from you, blessing those who curse you, being nice towards those who despitefully use and persecute you. Jesus is talking about the need not just to hang around our own folks, but to make sure that we reach out and include others. You remember he spoke about the Pharisees and the tax collectors who were nice to their own kind, but that's all, right? And Jesus explained to them that was phony flattery. That was fake courtesy and generosity. That really the test in kindness is, how do you treat somebody who is unkind back to you? So Jesus lets them know that we're talking about everybody here, not just people that we are naturally drawn to. It's okay to have stronger bonds with some people than with other people. Of course that's okay. This is a natural thing. And as we take a closer look at Jesus' ministry, we find that there were certain people that he had a greater fondness of than other people. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a normal thing. But it's not normal for us to ramp that up and to take it too far to a conclusion. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have opportunity to do good, we do good to everybody, especially those who are of the household of faith. There is a priority here. In this world with its 7+ billion people, we naturally find ourselves having more of a bond and more of a connection to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And elders, it's normal for elders to feel a tighter bond with other elders of other congregations. It's normal for preachers to feel more closely connected to other preachers because, well, we share some of the same walk in life. So these sorts of things are normal, but they're not done on the backs of others, because as we have opportunity, we're doing good, we're being nice to everybody, especially those who are of the household of faith. Christians get our best. Christians get a special treatment in our lives. I hope that's the case with you. I hope it's the case that your fellow Christians get your best self, because here, Galatians 6:10, we're told that we need to give our best to those with whom we share this faith. We do good to all people, yes, of course, everybody. We're not going to be mean to anyone, regardless of how they treat us. Even our enemies, Jesus says, back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, even our enemies are ones whom we love and pray for and care about and want to be good to. But when we find somebody in this world who is a brother or a sister in Christ, the connection is immediate, and the bond is very secure and very deep. We know that we have something very special in common here. So this golden rule is an inclusive rule. We're talking about all people. All people are what we're considering. How they should treat us becomes how we should treat them, regardless of any of the other details. And then this golden rule is an active rule. It is a comprehensive rule, an introspective rule, an inclusive rule. Finally, it's an active rule. Because Jesus says, and you read it with me right there in Matthew 7:12, whatever you think other people should do to you, you do to them. Do that. Get busy doing that. Not busy complaining that enough people aren't doing this. That's not going to help things, right? Sitting back and complaining, isn't it a shame that more people aren't following the golden rule? That's not going to help anybody else follow the golden rule. So it's an active rule above all things. Here's the way it goes. You know how people should treat you, so there's your sermon. Get to work treating them that same way. Jesus goes on to say this is the law and the prophets. He is hanging a lot on this commandment here, this golden rule, and how precious it is. We treat other people the way that we want them to treat us, and that makes the world a better place, right? You want your families to be better. You want your community to be better. You want your church home to be better. May I recommend the golden rule for your life? Jesus says, the way that you want others to treat you, you treat them that way. I want someone out there to tell me what I must do in order to be saved. I want that. I'm thankful that somebody once upon a time told me what to do in order to please God. And that's one of the reasons why I make sure to let people know what they must do in order to be saved. I'm using the word must because this is not optional. You have to do these things in order to be saved. And it begins with hearing God's word, as you've all done tonight. Faith comes through hearing God's word, Romans 10:17 says. And then we believe it. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus said, Mark 16:16. And then we repent. Jesus says we must repent or we're going to perish, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. And then we confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The nobleman did this in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and after his confession, he was baptized just like you need to be baptized. He was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. He was baptized just like Saul was to have his sins washed away. Those are the same reasons for you to be baptized tonight if you've not already done it. We're ready to help you obey that plan of salvation. If you would rather just talk or study more about it, we would gladly have those Bible studies with you. We would love to teach you more about what the Bible says. We don't know it all, but we've been blessed and advantaged by people who've helped us, and we would love to help you as well. If that is your need, you can let us know that. If you're ready to be baptized, you let us know that. If you have already been baptized, as I look out and see that many of us have, that's great. There are a lot of things that we need to do to please the Lord, including following this golden rule. So if you are living your life in a way that is not fully committed to the Lord, think about that tonight as we sing this song. And if we can help you in any way, let us know by coming forward now as we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.